Welcome to the Coin Podcast Network. Emotional, creative, and often comical. Welcome to another in-depth but out-of-the-ordinary look at what it's like to write. This is Writer's Block with Coin6 News anchor Jenny Hansen.
So Michael Huey, otherwise known as ML Huey by his books, thanks so much for being on our podcast this week, Writer's Block. Nice to meet you, at least over Zoom.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
We're going to talk about your book, Nightshade, your newest novel, and you know, the inspiration for all that in just a moment. But kind of wanted to get a background for our listeners, for you. So I know you started out, did you start out in journalism, or how did you start with the writing process?
As a writer, I started just, you know, when I was in high school, just writing what today we would call fan fiction. and you know, over the years, I wrote a couple of short stories and sort of dabbled in playwriting because I have a theater background. Mm-hmm. And then after graduate school, I worked as an actor and an educator for a long time. And then I went into kind of features writing, journalism. I worked for a newspaper covering the arts and education.
And where did you grow up? Did you grow up in North Carolina?
I did grow up in North Carolina, yeah.
Okay. All right. So you said you started out with the fan fiction. So what would it be comparable to today?
Well, I think it's called fan fiction today. Yeah. But when I was like, when I was young, you know, kind of very late high school age, I probably was one of five American Doctor Who fans. And I wrote, you know, again, fan fiction in these notebooks, which I kept. But I guess the important thing for me at that time was I was writing something long form. I was really committed to it. And I just wrote and wrote and wrote and wrote and filled notebooks. Mm-hmm. And I always think that's a little daunting for writers at the very beginning, is thinking I can write something that, you know, tells a long story that would be worthy of a novel.
Right. Because I think a lot of people, don't they, like, they have a good idea. They're like, I know I'm going to start this. But then as you keep writing and keep writing, the story can kind of, you know, you got to keep your focus, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just intimidating.
Yeah.
And just to say, I'm going to sit down and write a novel,
right,
and to stick with it. I mean, I think anyone, whether it's been published or not, who has completed a draft of a novel, mm-hmm, should pat themselves on the back totally and go out and celebrate, mm-hmm, because it's quite a task.
And so did you, along the way, did you ever think, you know, I'm going to try this to make it as a career? Or were you kind of like, you know, it's very competitive. A lot of people try to be authors. I mean, what were your thoughts and what were, like, say, your family and friends telling you as far as your any dreams of being an author?
Well, I took maybe 15 years ago, I took a short story writing class online, mm-hmm, and had a lot of good feedback about that. And then there was this thing called the 3-day novel contest out of Canada to write a novel. And you cannot edit it. You cannot go back in anything. You have to send it to them as is. And my wife, Brooke, was extremely encouraging. She said, you got to do that. So that became the first novel that I wrote. I just did air quotes. I'm sure people can't see me. And so after that, I wrote a second novel, again, that only Brooke has seen and will ever know. She'll be the only person to ever see it. And then I just kept hacking at it until I came up with an idea that I felt was worthy enough to send to someone outside my family. So, yeah, I mean, I had a lot of support. I'll never forget, my son was in third grade and I was writing something and he said, so are you actually going to do something with this one? And that stuck with me, you know, because I thought, why not?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think a lot of authors that I've talked to anyway, it seems like they've written 2 to 3 novels at least before they actually decide one's good enough to send out there into the world and see if someone will publish it. Is the competition you did, is that similar to, is it called Nano? There's some Nano competition here in the States.
Yeah, NaNoWriMo. Yeah. It's not a competition. It's just to take November to write 50,000 words of a novel.
Right.
So if you get 50,000 words, I think you can print off a certificate, but it's a big community and very supportive. So you have a lot of backup there while you're doing it.
And so then when you were on this journey to becoming a novelist, were you then working as a feature, some reporter, journalist at that time?
Yeah. You know, I've had a kind of circuitous career because I was acting after graduate school. I taught a little bit in public schools. Then I went into journalism for about 10 years and then left that and was back acting again, professional acting again. And just in terms of competition, I'm not sure any profession has more competition than trying to be an actor.
Yeah.
So I kind of thought writing was, you know, in downtimes when I wasn't teaching or acting, writing was a great outlet. So I wasn't, yeah, so that's kind of how I got into that, yeah. Just because I had the time.
Yeah, good creative outlet, because journalism, I mean, I know features reporting is fun, but you can't be super, I mean, you can't, you know, it's not, you're telling another person's story most of the time. It's not a story that you're just coming up with in your head. I want to know how you did get the stories in your head for Livy Nash and this character that you created.
Well, actually, the first thing that happened was, and I say this a lot in interviews, is I have to give credit to another book, which is Codename Verity by Elizabeth Wein, W-E-I-N. It's technically a young adult novel. That's because the protagonists are like 17, I think. But it introduced me to this idea of these women, British women, who were basically amateurs and who were recruited to do this incredibly dangerous sort of spy sabotage work in World War II. I never heard of that. I never knew women did that. I never knew men did that. Mm-hmm. So after I read that book, I started reading, you know, nonfiction accounts of what happened. And I thought, you know, this could be something. And then that was one part of the idea. And then a couple of other pieces of the puzzle came together to make it a novel worthy idea.
Is it hard to write? I mean, you're a guy from North Carolina and you're writing in the voice of this, the British woman. Is it hard to you know, really kind of capture the voice of that person when you're, you know, a totally different person in real life?
I'll give you two answers to that question, or maybe three. No, first, you know, as an actor, you know, you have to empathize with a lot of different people to play different characters, even people that you don't like. You have to find somebody out there that you like. So I think that does make it a little easier for me to step into someone else's shoes, someone who is, as you said, totally different from me. My son's godfather, a former professor of mine and a dear friend who passed away 2 years ago, unfortunately, is from the part of the world where my character Livy is from. And so I've spent a good amount of time in Lancashire in the northwest of England. So I had a feel for it. I wish that I could write books sometimes that were set in North Carolina, in my hometown. It would be so easy. But I just have found I enjoy historical periods and I enjoy finding out something, learning something before I write something, if that makes sense.
Okay. So you're not from the mindset necessarily of write what you know, but you like to kind of explore and learn.
Yes. But even in the context of the books, I'm writing a lot of things that I know. I know this genre that I'm writing in very well.
Yeah.
There is a lot of theater and acting references in these books. And for people who know me, they read these books and go, oh, this sounds so much like you, you know?
Okay.
So I think there's, for it to be at all honest or truthful, even though that's a totally different, you know, mindset on a totally different gender,
yeah.
It has to have some part of you.
Okay.
And that's true in acting as well.
I would imagine, though, a lot of research has to go into the geography of everything and just the history that you're dealing with, too.
Absolutely. But like research, I found it's a great way to procrastinate from actually writing.
Right. Take a research day. Yes. And so where does Nightshade pick up from? It's a sequel, right? Where does it pick up from where Spitfire left off?
Spitfire takes place in 1946, and Nightshade is the next year. Livy, who is was a spy for the British during World War II, and sort of is doing the same thing, albeit in sort of a sort of an adjunct sort of way. This is just a sort of the follow-up.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I guess you can't really give away more than that, but it sounds fascinating. So do you plan on continuing with this character and with the series? What is your next step after this?
Yeah, I hope so. You know, publishing, it's not totally up to me, obviously. It's up to my publisher. Right. And we are at that point where we're going to make a decision about what's next. And so, yeah, I definitely have a plan. And I think, you know, within a few weeks, we'll have a definite thing. Publishing moves incredibly slowly. And that's true even continuing a series.
Yeah. So are you working on anything right now?
Yeah, I have a work in progress that's totally different. Okay. From this that I'm working on a second draft of. Actually used, the sort of lockdown period in the spring to get the first draft. And so now I'm revising it.
I was going to ask you about that. A lot of authors I've interviewed have said, because I thought maybe the pandemic would have been a great opportunity to get a lot done. And some of them have said, not really, because they just are procrastinating more. Do you find that you've been able to get more writing done during this lockdown time? How's it been going for you in general?
Pretty well. I mean, it's not too bad. I am also right now, I mean, the other way I make a living is I'm a college professor. I teach theater.
Okay.
And so, you know, the summertime is my time to write. And I just turned in grades for the fall semester a few days ago. So that's why I'm back at it. As a writer, before I was published, I used to love to read how writers wrote, their process, what time of day did they write, you know, what was their writing environment like? And I do have an office and I do have a sort of schedule sometimes, but the honest truth is you write what you can. You know, I wrote chapters of my first book, Spitfire, sitting in a waiting room while my daughter was taking ballet, That's the truth, at least from my point of view.
Do you think you'll write eventually or ever at all about what we've been like, incorporate the pandemic somehow in your storylines? Or are you more about like, no, I need escapism from all of what's happening?
A little bit of both, I would say. The book I'm working on right now, it takes place in 1968, which, of course, a lot of people have compared this year to 68 in terms of the United States, the change happening and in the world. And so, you can't, even though it takes place in history, I still live in 2020, and that influences what I'm writing.
This year has been like 1968, the year of the Spanish flu, the economy collapsing. It's just kind of been like all the greatest hits rolled out into one year. Yeah. And do you usually when your books come out, do you do book tours usually in a normal year, or do you mainly stay where you are?
Well, you know, Spitfire was my first. It came out in January. I did two events before we went into lockdown. So yeah, I got to do two events. A couple of virtual events, but it's been, your marketing now is all online, there's social media.
Yeah.
It's been tough.
Do you have you kind of learned how to navigate that? I'm assuming most authors are having to probably pivot a lot and learn how to do it all online.
For the most part, I'm on a Facebook group of writers who all wrote their debut novels and debuted in 2020. Mm-hmm. It's an incredibly supportive group. And so I learned a lot from listening to them.
Okay.
But it seems honestly like something, I constantly feel like I'm missing something. Like, well, I should be doing this. It would be so much easier to just be able to go to bookstores and talk to people who might buy your book, you know.
Now, if people want to, find out more about you and stay updated on what you're doing, is your website the best place to do that?
Yeah, my website is mlhuie.com, mlhuie.com. You can sign up for my mailing list there. And I'm also pretty active on Instagram at ML Huey Books. I have a Facebook page, but you know, it seems Instagram, the book community is really in thriving on Instagram. I'm surprised.
But, really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
I don't know. But you know, I'm on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, but I get more response when I post something on Instagram than I do on either of the other two platforms.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. Well, it was great talking to you today. And thank you.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Coin Podcast Network. You can listen to more great Coin podcasts on coin.com/podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Please listen, download, subscribe, and review.